Welcome to the Depth Dive. Today we're tackling something really fundamental to understanding our health, general health blood tests.
Exactly. We've spent some time digging through quite a bit of material trying to pull out the, you know, the core insights for you.
Yeah, the stuff that actually matters.
Right. The goal here is really to help you understand what these tests are all about, what they mean for you, without drowning you in, like, super technical jargon.
Think of this as your shortcut, maybe. A way to grasp the power behind these tests and how they paint a clearer picture of your overall health. We looked at various articles, guides, really trying to distill the essentials.
And at its heart, a general health blood test is, well, it's a diagnostic tool. It looks at a whole range of biochemical markers.
Things like blood sugar, cholesterol.
Precisely. Glucose, yep. Cholesterol, liver enzymes, kidney function markers,
yeah.
Things like that.
And the big thing seems to be catching problems early.
That's the real value, yes. Their proactive nature. They aren't just for when you feel sick. They're incredibly good at spotting potential issues before they become serious problems, helping you make informed decisions.
Okay, so let's get into the nuts and bolts then. What actually, you know, happens when you go for a typical blood test?
Generally, it's a very smooth process. A healthcare professional, like a phlebotomist or nurse, takes a small blood sample.
Usually from the arm, right?
Usually from a vein in the arm, yes. That little sample then gets sent off to a lab.
And they analyze it for all those different indicators we mentioned.
Exactly. They run various tests on it to check those key health markers.
You know, I think just understanding that simple process can actually help reduce anxiety for people who might be a bit nervous about needles or tests.
Absolutely. Knowing what to expect makes a difference.
Yeah.
And the significance of this simple test, well, it really can't be overstated. It's a cornerstone of proactive health. Well, these tests are crucial for spotting conditions like diabetes or hyperlipidemia, that's high cholesterol and triglycerides and kidney disease, often in their very early stages.
And catching them early is key.
Especially within the UK's NHS system. Early identification means you can get referred to specialists much faster, getting the right care promptly.
So it's really about getting ahead of the curve, preventing things rather than just reacting, which brings us nicely to the preventative power, doesn't it?
It really does. General health blood tests are fundamental to preventive health care. Regular checks let you identify potential issues before they escalate.
Like the glucose example.
Exactly. Elevated blood glucose could be that first sign, that warning flag for diabetes risk. That knowledge prompts you maybe to change your diet or exercise, or prompts your doctor to investigate further.
That makes perfect sense. It's like an early warning system for your body.
And it gives you a really clear view of how your lifestyle, what you eat, how much you move is actually impacting things like cholesterol and glucose.
Which are massive factors for heart health.
Absolutely critical, especially for preventing cardiovascular diseases, which are, you know, a major health concern here in the UK.
And catching things early. It's not just about avoiding illness down the line, is it? It improves things now.
Definitely. It's about enhancing your quality of life, both now and in the future. Timely interventions based on these tests can genuinely improve life expectancy and your day-to-day well-being. You become an active partner in your health.
It sounds like this data has broader implications too, beyond just one person.
That's a really insightful point, yes. On a wider public health scale, the aggregated data from these tests is incredibly useful.
How is it used?
Well, for instance, looking at combined data across the UK has highlighted regional differences in things like vitamin D deficiency.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and that led to targeted public health campaigns, advice on supplementation in specific areas. This data helps shape effective healthcare policies, crucial for the NHS in tackling health inequalities.
Okay, so we get what they are and why they're important.
Mm-hmm.
Who should actually be thinking about getting these tests done? And how often?
Good question. While they can benefit pretty much anyone at any age, certain groups should probably prioritize regular testing more.
Like who specifically?
Adults over 40, for instance. The risk for many chronic conditions tends to increase with age, so early detection becomes even more valuable then.
Makes sense. And what about family history? Does that play a big role?
A very big role. If you have a family history of conditions like diabetes, heart disease, maybe certain cancers, you might have a genetic predisposition.
So testing is even more proactive in that case.
Exactly. It's a key preventive step. Also, anyone experiencing persistent, unexplained symptoms like ongoing fatigue, sudden weight loss or gain, changes in appetite, should definitely chat with their doctor about a blood test.
Okay.
It helps figure out underlying causes.
And what if you already have a condition, like high blood pressure?
Then regular tests are vital for monitoring. If you have hypertension or high cholesterol, blood tests help track your condition and check if your treatment plan is actually working effectively. It's essential for managing chronic issues.
Okay, and the million-dollar question, or maybe the 50-quid question, how often should you actually get tested? Is there a standard rule?
Generally, an annual test is often suggested as a good benchmark for many adults. But, and this is important, it's definitely not one size fits all.
It depends on the individual.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Your age, any existing conditions you have, your family medical history, all of these things factor in.
So maybe someone younger and healthy doesn't need it every single year.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
A younger person with no major family history might only need testing every, say, 2 or 3 years. But someone over 40 or someone with known risk factors might need more frequent checks.
So the bottom line is,
talk to your doctor. Have that conversation. They can assess your personal risk profile and recommend a testing schedule that's right for you.
That seems like sound advice. Okay, let's shift gears. Preparing for the test itself, what do people need to do beforehand?
Right. Preparation is key for accurate results. Fasting is a big one for certain tests.
Which tests need fasting?
Usually ones measuring glucose and your lipid profile, cholesterol, triglycerides. Typically, you'd need to fast for about 8 to 12 hours beforehand.
Meaning no food or drink except water?
General, yes, just water.
Mm.
But it's absolutely crucial to get specific instructions from your healthcare provider because it can vary. Don't just guess.
Always check with the doctor or clinic. Got it. What else? Hydration?
Yes. Staying well hydrated is actually helpful.
Mm.
Drinking plenty of water can make your veins easier to find, which can make the blood draw smoother.
Just plain water though, right?
Definitely avoid sugary drinks or caffeine before the test, as they can skew results, especially glucose levels. Stick to water.
Good tip. Anything else on the prep list?
Yes, very important. Tell your healthcare provider about all medications and supplements you're taking.
Even over-the-counter stuff, vitamins.
Everything. Prescription meds, over-the-counter drugs, herbal remedies, vitamins. Some substances can interfere with test results. Your doctor needs to know so they can advise if you need to temporarily stop taking anything.
Okay, so you've done your prep, you arrive for the test. Walk us through the actual experience. What's it like?
It's usually very quick, very routine. A healthcare professional will greet you, maybe confirm your details, explain the procedure briefly.
And they seat you comfortably.
Yes. Then they'll clean a patch of skin on your arm, usually the inside of the elbow, with an antiseptic wipe. That's to prevent infection.
And then comes the needle part, which some people worry about.
Right. They'll use a small, sterile needle to enter a vein. It's usually very quick. The actual collection might only take, you know, 30 seconds to a minute or two.
Is it painful?
Most people say it's just like a quick pinprick or a small scratch. Generally, it's relatively painless and over very fast.
And once the blood is collected?
They withdraw the needle, apply a bit of pressure with cotton wool, and then put a small bandage or plaster over the site.
Might get a small bruise later.
Might get a small minor bruise, yeah. That usually fades quickly. And then the collected sample is labeled and sent off to the laboratory for analysis.
So the test itself is done. Fast forward a bit, how do you get your results and what's the crucial next step?
Results are typically ready within a few days. It can vary a bit depending on the test's run and the lab's workload.
And how do you actually receive them?
Many GP practices and clinics now have secure online portals where you can view your results, which is really convenient. Otherwise, they might call you or ask you to book an appointment.
Right. Getting the numbers is one thing, but then what? Just look at them online and figure it out yourself?
No, absolutely not. This is really important. You should always schedule a follow-up appointment or call with your healthcare provider to discuss the results.
Even if everything looks normal?
Yes, even then. Your doctor can put those numbers into context for your specific health situation, answer any questions, and offer reassurance or advice on maintaining good health.
And obviously, if results aren't normal,
then that discussion is even more crucial. Your doctor will explain what the abnormal results might mean, whether more tests are needed, or if a referral to a specialist is necessary.
Like the cholesterol example we mentioned earlier.
Exactly. If your cholesterol is high, the discussion might be about dietary changes, exercise recommendations, or potentially starting medication. It's about creating a plan together.
It's clear that general health blood test isn't just one single thing, is it? It's more like a package deal.
That's a great way to put it. It's a panel, a collection of specific tests. A very common one is the complete blood count, the CBC.
What does that tell you?
It gives loads of information about your blood cells. Red blood cells, think of them like delivery trucks for oxygen. Low levels might mean anemia, White blood cells, they're like your body's army fighting infection. High levels often signal an infection or inflammation. The CBC also looks at hemoglobin, which carries the oxygen in red cells, and platelets, which help with clotting.
So useful for detecting infections, anemia, other blood issues.
Yes, exactly. Then there's the lipid panel we talked about.
That's the cholesterol one.
Right. It measures LDL, often called the bad cholesterol. Think of it like cholesterol potentially clogging up arteries.
Right.
HDL, the good cholesterol, which acts more like a scavenger, removing cholesterol. And triglycerides, another type of fat in the blood. This panel is key for heart health risk.
And glucose, we mentioned that for diabetes.
Correct. Measures your blood sugar levels. Helps flag diabetes risk or something called metabolic syndrome.
And you also mentioned liver and kidney tests.
Yes. Liver function tests look at specific enzymes, like ALT and AST. Elevated levels can signal liver stress or damage. Kidney function tests measure waste products, like creatinine and urea, to see how well your kidneys are filtering your blood.
So spotting potential organ issues early.
Precisely. Abnormal results there would definitely prompt further investigation.
Okay, so within this general test, we've got these core components. Let's quickly recap those essential markers doctors are looking at.
Sure. So the CBC gives us red cells, anemia risk, white cells, infection, inflammation. The lipid profile gives us LDL, HDL, triglycerides, cardiovascular health, glucose levels, diabetes risk, and then liver and kidney function tests, organ health via enzymes and waste products.
And looking at all of those together provides that really valuable snapshot, doesn't it, for making informed decisions about lifestyle or maybe medication?
Absolutely. It gives both you and your doctor crucial data points to guide your health journey effectively.
Now, getting those results back, sometimes it just looks like a list of abbreviations and numbers. It can be pretty daunting, right? How do you start to make sense of it all?
You're absolutely right. It can look intimidating. The key thing to remember is that each marker has a normal or reference range, but...
There's a but.
Yes. Those ranges can vary slightly between labs. And what's normal can also depend on individual factors like age and sex. For example, a normal fasting glucose might be, say, 4.0 to 5.4 millimoles per liter. Higher levels could suggest prediabetes or diabetes.
So if a number falls outside that range, is it automatically bad news? Panic stations.
Not necessarily panic stations, no. But it definitely warrants a closer look in that conversation with your doctor. It doesn't always mean a serious disease on its own.
Give me an example.
Okay. Say your LDL cholesterol comes back a bit high. Your doctor won't just diagnose heart disease. They'll discuss lifestyle changes. First, diet, exercise, maybe medication if it's significantly high or other risk factors are present.
And liver enzymes.
Similarly, if liver enzymes are elevated, it signals something needs investigating. It could be related to medication, alcohol, fatty liver, or even something like hepatitis. It prompts further tests to find the cause.
So the crucial takeaway here is don't rely on Dr. Google.
Please don't. Always, always consult your healthcare professional. They interpret the results in your context, considering your whole health picture, and explain what it means for you and what the next step should be. Self-diagnosing is really risky.
That's incredibly important advice. Now, beyond that standard general panel, are there other blood tests people might sometimes need?
Oh, yes, definitely. Depending on your health history, any symptoms you're having, your doctor might suggest additional tests.
Such as
thyroid function tests are common. If you have symptoms like fatigue, weight changes, feeling too hot or cold, it could be a thyroid issue. These tests check thyroid hormone levels.
What about things like vitamins? People talk about vitamin D a lot.
That's another great example. Tests for vitamin D and also vitamin B12 can be really important. Deficiencies are quite common and can cause fatigue, nerve problems, impact immunity.
So if you have those symptoms, a test might be useful.
It might well be, yes. And if a deficiency is found, supplementation might be recommended after discussion with your doctor.
Does lifestyle ever trigger extra tests, like smoking or drinking?
It certainly can. If there's a history of heavy alcohol use, for instance, more specific liver tests might be ordered. Smoking increases risks for various things, so sometimes that context might lead to considering other related tests, too, for a fuller picture.
Okay, this is super helpful on the what and why. Let's get really practical now. If you're in the UK, where do you actually go to get these tests done?
Right, the practicalities. In the UK, the NHS provides a really well-established way to access these tests.
Through your GP?
Primarily, yes. Your first step is usually to see your GP. They'll assess if you need the test and then refer you. You can often get the blood drawn at your GP practice itself, or they might send you to a local clinic or hospital phlebotomy department.
And is it generally free on the NHS?
Yes. The vast majority of these general health blood tests are provided free of charge through the NHS.
How easy is it to get an appointment?
Booking is usually quite straightforward. Many practices have online systems now. But waiting times can vary. Depending on where you live and how busy they are, it might take a little while to get a non-urgent appointment.
Can you just walk in anywhere?
Not typically for a routine GP-referred test. You usually need that appointment.
Yeah.
Some areas might have specific walk-in phlebotomy clinics, but it varies.
Okay, what if you want it done faster, or maybe at a weekend, or you want a specific set of tests?
Then private clinics are an alternative. They definitely offer faster access, more flexible appointment times, evenings, weekends sometimes.
And they might offer specific health packages.
Exactly. Many private providers bundle tests together, maybe focusing on heart health or energy levels, that sort of thing.
What sort of cost are we talking about for private tests?
It varies quite a bit. You're probably looking at a range, say, roughly 50 pounds up to perhaps 200 pounds or even more.
Depends on what's included.
Yes, depends heavily on how many tests are in the panel, the clinic's reputation, where it's located. Those bundled packages can sometimes be cost-effective if you want a broad overview.
And a potential benefit is faster results and follow-up.
Often, yes. They might offer quicker turnaround times and sometimes include an immediate consultation to discuss results as part of the package.
What about these at-home testing kits? They seem to be everywhere now.
They are becoming very popular, yes. They offer a lot of convenience. You collect a small blood sample yourself at home, usually a finger prick test.
And then you send it off.
You send it off to their partner lab in the post, following the instructions carefully. Then you usually get your results securely online a few days later. Many reputable companies cover the main panels we've discussed.
Sounds easy. Any downsides?
The main thing, really, is that convenience shouldn't replace professional medical advice. Getting the numbers is one thing, but you still need a doctor or qualified professional to interpret them correctly in your personal health context and advise on next steps. They're a tool, not a substitute for a proper consultation.
Let's just double-click on the cost aspect again. NHS is mostly free?
Mostly free for standard tests, yes. That's a huge plus for accessibility. Just be aware, very occasionally, highly specialized tests might have costs, but your GP would discuss that. Always worth asking if you're unsure.
And private, that 5,200-pound range, factors influencing that are the clinic, location, how many tests?
Exactly. And those bundles can be good value. Remember, you're often paying for speed and convenience too, maybe faster results and quicker follow-up chats.
Does private health insurance ever cover these?
Sometimes, yes. Many private plans will cover blood tests if they're deemed medically necessary by a doctor. But policies vary hugely. You really need to check your specific plan details.
But NHS tests are generally covered anyway.
Yes. Standard NHS tests prescribed by your GP are covered. It's always good practice to talk to your doctor about which tests are truly essential for you. That helps whether you're using NHS or potentially claiming on insurance.
And finally, on access, just getting it done. How easy is it day to day?
With the NHS, your GP practice is usually the main hub, which is convenient for most. Booking is usually okay, but as we said, waiting times can vary by area. If you're in a remote place, you might have to travel a bit further to a clinic or hospital.
But the aim is equal access.
That's the NHS principle, yes.
Right.
And walk-in clinics do exist in some places, improving access.
And private clinics, their accessibility advantage is?
Often flexibility, extended hours, weekend appointments, slick online booking. For people with busy schedules, that immediate access and quick turnaround for results and consultations can be a major draw.
Okay, we've covered a massive amount about getting the tests. Let's dive just a bit deeper now into interpreting those results properly. We mentioned normal ranges.
Right, and it's so important to see those ranges as just that, reference ranges, statistical averages. Your result needs context.
So a number slightly outside the range isn't automatically a disaster.
Not at all. It doesn't always mean a serious problem. It might just signal a need for a small lifestyle tweak. Or just closer monitoring over time. Your age, gender, medical history, all that matters.
For example?
Well, take total cholesterol. The general target might be below 5 millimol. If yours is, say, 5.2, your doctor won't just look at that number in isolation. They'll consider your HDL, your LDL, other risk factors before deciding on any action. Context is everything.
Which brings us back to?
Talking to your healthcare professional. They provide that crucial context and clarity.
What about things that can mess with the results, even if you're healthy? Things that influence the numbers on the day?
Oh, quite a few things, actually. Diet is a big one. What you ate recently can have an impact.
Like that high-fat meal example.
Exactly. A fatty meal right before a test can temporarily spike your triglycerides. Alcohol can affect liver function tests, so being mindful of your diet just before the test helps.
What else?
Medications, as we said. Prescription, over-the-counter, supplements, they can all potentially alter results, which is why telling your doctor everything you take is vital.
Lifestyle factors, too. Stress, exercise.
Yes, definitely. High stress can sometimes affect certain hormone levels, though maybe less directly impacting these core tests. Intense exercise right before a test could potentially affect some markers like kidney function or muscle enzymes slightly. Even dehydration can concentrate your blood a bit, potentially nudging some levels.
So understanding these variables helps you and your doctor interpret the results more accurately.
Precisely. It helps make informed decisions based on a true picture.
So you get the results, you've had the chat with the doctor. What kind of next steps might people expect?
It really depends entirely on the findings. If everything looks good, within normal ranges for you.
Then it's probably carry on as you are.
Likely, yes. Continue with regular checkups as advised. Maintain that healthy lifestyle. If results are abnormal, though, that's when the action plan comes in.
Tailored to the specific issue.
Absolutely. High cholesterol. That might lead to specific dietary advice, an exercise plan, maybe medication, abnormal liver function. That could trigger further investigations like an ultrasound scan or referral to a liver specialist.
So it's really about engagement.
Yes. Understanding your results and actively engaging with your healthcare provider is absolutely crucial for managing your health effectively, making changes if needed, and promoting long-term well-being.
Okay, to pull all this great info together, let's run through some quick-fire FAQs, the kind of questions people often ask.
Sounds good. Fire away.
What's typically included in a general health blood test?
Usually a complete blood count, CBC, lipid panel, cholesterol, glucose, plus liver and kidney function tests.
How long until I get my results back?
Typically a few days, often available online now too.
Is the actual blood test painful?
Generally very quick with minimal discomfort, like a brief pinprick.
Do I definitely need to fast beforehand?
Depends on the specific test ordered. Always check with your provider.
Can I just get a test without seeing a doctor first?
Generally need a GP referral for NHS tests. Private clinics might offer direct access.
What happens if my results are abnormal?
Your doctor will discuss what they mean for you and suggest next steps, like further tests or lifestyle changes.
How often should I get tested?
Often annually for adults, but it varies. Best to discuss with your doctor based on your individual health.
Are those at-home kits any good?
They can be convenient, yes, but always discuss the results with a doctor for proper interpretation.
How much do private blood tests usually cost?
Roughly 50 pounds to 200 pounds, sometimes more, depending on what's included.
And will my private insurance cover it?
Often, yes, if medically necessary, but check your specific policy. NHS tests are typically fully covered. Right, so to kind of wrap up our deep dive today.
It seems clear that general health blood tests are just an incredibly powerful tool, aren't they, for being proactive about your health?
They really are. They offer such valuable insights into how your body's functioning internally.
And understanding the whole process, the preparation, what happens, the different test types, how to approach the results, it really empowers you, doesn't it, to take more control of your well-being.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power here.
Yeah.
And we keep saying it, but that regular conversation with your healthcare provider is just invaluable.
They give you that personalized advice, interpret things in your context.
Exactly.
So maybe the final thought for everyone listening is this. Now that you hopefully have a deeper understanding of these tests, what specific questions do you want to ask your own doctor about your health profile and what testing might be right for you?
That's a great question to leave people with.
Definitely something to consider. Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive.